Listen when you want, how you want. This is Tone FM.
Listen again.
Dun's 107.8 Tone FM.
Thank you.
Well, hello. It's Lynn here. It's Thursday evening, of course, and I thought I'd kick off tonight's show with a foodie-themed song. Of course, it was Hole of the Moon by the Waterboys. Happy Thursday, all. It's the end of another week, nearly. I hope it's been a good one. Of course, my name's Lynn O'Halloran. This is the What's for Dinner show. I hope you're going to stay with me for the next hour. Do get in touch. Let me know what you're having for your tea. I'd love to know. And if you've got a foodie song you want to recommend, then email in and studio@tonefm.co.uk. That's studio@tonefm.co.uk. Or you can WhatsApp on 01823 28 66 88. That's 01823 28 66 88. After this next track from Busted, the good old Essex boy band from the noughties, I'll tell you who is here in the studio with me tonight to share their inheritance dishes.
It's been the greatest time, but it's time we borrowed. We got our separate ways to go. Wish I could follow.
Was, of course, Busted. I'm joined in the studio tonight. I'm very delighted about this. I'm joined by Nick Griffin, who is the vicar at St George's Church at Wilton, here in Taunton. Good evening, Nick.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. First of all, look, I mean, you've come in to talk about a specific project that you're working on, but just tell me, how long have you been the vicar at St George's?
We arrived in January 21, which was literally the day after the lockdown started in January 21, and we started our work there. So it was an extraordinary time to be there. So about 2.5 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's I mean, not a very long time, really,
no,
is it?
Not at all.
We could call you a new person,
newish,
can't we? Yeah, excellent. Okay, well, look, what I'm going to do, actually, I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and we'll talk a bit more about the community fridge.
Taunton's 107.8
Tone FM.
Well, can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you. Song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. And we could pretend it all the time, yeah. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Just maybe like a ukulele, mama made a baby. Really don't mind the practice, cause you're my little lady. Lady, lady, love me, cause I love to lay you lazy. We could close the curtains, pretend like there's no world outside. Then we could pretend it all the time, Lord. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Can't you see, can't you see? Rain all day and I don't mind. But the telephone singing, ringing, it's too early, don't pick it up. We don't need to, we got everything we need right here, and everything we need is enough. Just so easy when the whole world fits inside of your arms. Don't really need to pay attention to the alarm. Wake up slow, wake up slow. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you this. Song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. And we could pretend it all the time, yeah. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really, really, really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see? We gotta wake up slow.
Of course, Banana Pancakes by Jack Johnson. Nick Griffin, who's here with me in the studio this evening, asked for that one. We all love that song. It's very beautiful. Right, back to what we were talking about. So you've been the vicar at St George's for, well, just before COVID, 2.5 years or whatever it was. It feels like ages away now, doesn't it?
That time, a bad dream,
that bizarre period of life, although obviously it's still something that people are struggling with. Tell me a little bit, what's the role of a vicar in the local community?
Yeah, it's a big question, really. I think primarily it's a spiritual role, you know. So we're leading worship, we're teaching, preaching, and helping people with prayer. And then you've got the bits that you'd expect to see a vicar in, your baptisms, your weddings, your funerals, and that kind of thing as well. But I think vicar, the word vicar is short for vicarious. It's like on behalf of. So you're one of those people that tries to draw things together in a community. And I mean, one of the good things that came out of COVID, I found, was people kind of came together. You remember that? It was kind of crazy if you think about it. We all went outside and bashed pots together in the street and clapped. And we were grateful for NHS, but that was slightly bonkers. But people really loved that sense of coming out and doing stuff together. And now things have gone back to normal. We're not bashing pots anymore, and that's fine. But I think there's something of that kind of community engagement and spirit that we're missing. And I think that, you know, church can be part of the, play its part in bringing people together in that way again. So that's what I'm often trying to do as a vicar.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, do you think, because obviously a lot of people were volunteering. I know I went and volunteered at the sort of community shop that opened up the road from where I lived. So, do you think people have pulled back from that, or do you think people are still keen to sort of be involved in their community? It's just that the roots to that are perhaps, you know, not as clear as they were during COVID.
I think it's a bit of both. Large volunteering agencies are struggling more now than ever. People had a bit of a break during COVID, and a lot of people went, oh, it's quite nice of a break, thank you very much. So a lot of people haven't gone back who were volunteering before. But I still believe, it just seems bonkers to me that we have a loneliness epidemic in this country. So that there's people that want to be together. So how do we get them to engage? And part of that is just putting things on, having spaces where people can connect and talk and be all together. And, you know, I think that's part of the role of the church, is to facilitate that kind of thing.
Yeah, excellent. So, I mean, one of the things that you and I'm sure some of your congregation or, you know, people in the local area have recently done is set up a community fridge. Now, gosh, I've not really heard of a community fridge before. It sounds like a great idea. Can I just pop along and grab a pint of milk?
Yeah,
I can. Tell me, though, a little bit more. The community fridge, what kind of inspired you to start one here in Taunton, and what, how does it work?
I was inspired. I first saw one in Froome where I was working before, and Froome's one of those places where they've really got themselves together and like engaged lots of local community. Really fantastic. And I love them because they are a way. There's no downsides to them. So food waste is one of the biggest contributors to climate change we have. It makes a massive difference. And if we didn't we didn't waste that food, we'd be removing that carbon that's produced into the country, into the world. So we waste the energy that's made by in the process of producing that food, and then we actually put it in rubbish dumps, which then creates methane, which makes the problem even worse. So food waste is a massive problem. A third of all food that is produced worldwide, a third is wasted. Literally goes in landfills. So it's not a small scale problem by any means. It's really gigantic. At the same time, we have people who don't have enough to eat, and this cannot be right. How is it that during holiday times, school children in our town are going hungry? This cannot be right. So the community fridge operates in a space. So there's great things that have, we talk about Open Doors, fantastic work they do. We talk about the food bank, fantastic work that they do. But most of the work they do is with tinned material and with dry material. The community fridge can take fresh. So it's the stuff like vegetables or meat, which isn't bad, but isn't really in a state, you know, just about to be sold, or if you have excess from an allotment or from a garden. We're in harvest season now, and, you know, there's about to be, you know, 500 courgettes produced from an allotment or something. And not everybody wants to make jam, you know? So you can share the love out through a community fridge. And one last thing, the lovely thing I like about it is anybody can access. So a lot of projects, you have to go through form filling, you have to get referred by different agencies. This is just an open door. Anybody, rich or poor, can come and access this, because the goal is to reduce food waste so that people, won't be wasted, it'll be useful for everybody.
Okay, that's interesting. So the focus is on not having food waste, but obviously one of the byproducts or the benefits of it is that people who maybe are struggling to find fresh food that they can afford can go to the community fridge and see what's there.
Absolutely, but it's literally for anyone, because we just waste not, want not. it's in everybody's favour if this food is eaten rather than just goes to waste, because it's just causing all of us more problems. And what a waste. You know, all of our grandmothers would be ashamed of the amount of food that we're wasting.
Well, especially vegetables, I imagine.
Especially vegetables. So it's a way of redistributing these things.
Okay, so, and is it actually a fridge? You know, a fridge in a shed or something?
Yeah, so if you come to...
Or a huge fridge, is that's it a right, walk-in cool box?
It's not quite... Yeah, don't worry, it's not. You're not going to get locked in a fridge anyway. You could probably get in, but you'd have to work really hard. Don't worry about that. No, there's a... we've got a... It's a really nice one, but it is a shed. And we've hooked power up to it. And there's lights, and there's a fridge in the middle, and there's some bits at the side for, like, scales, and there's ambient, a few ambient items and things like that, some milk and stuff. But otherwise, yes, there's literally a fridge. And all we ask people to do when they come in is click, take what they like, up to 5 items each, and then click a button to say, hey, I've used the fridge today, so we can track it for our funders.
Okay. Yeah. So you can do like a count of how many people are using it.
Well, it's just helpful.
Yeah.
And because we want to get the word out. We want it to be most useful. And if it's people aren't accessing, if one or two people are taking all the food, but nobody else is accessing it, we need to know. So these things need a little bit of care and management.
Yeah. Okay. And so people can take up to 5 items, which is pretty decent amount, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's not like 5 strawberries.
Yeah. 5 sausages.
5.
There's 6 in my family.
Slice. Oh, no. And what's really worth saying is that it's not being policed. So I really don't want, we have this horrible image of care and support for the community in the UK where it's just a bit like Dickens and Oliver. Please, sir, can I have some more? And we don't want anything like that. So this is a trust-based system. You know, we are literally stepping out in faith that people will donate, will give what they don't need to it, and then other people will take what they need, but no more. And so we just want it to be a blessing to the community, and we don't want to put barriers in people's ways to accessing that.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because there is often a feeling that, you know, as soon as something is free, that some people will just go and grab it all. But actually, I don't know, I prefer to believe that most people are pretty decent human beings.
Yeah. And that hasn't been the case so far.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's been open pretty much a month or so now, hasn't it? So, you know, is it going well? Are you getting the sort of number of visitors to the fridge that you'd hoped for? And is there anything particularly that you've learnt along the way?
It's been we've got a fantastic group of volunteers. Friend and colleague Mervyn Roberts, who coordinates the project day to day, he's absolutely legend with looking after all of our volunteers, and that, and there's lots of them. We have got people accessing it day by day. It's open 4 days a week, so there's only so many, you know, we have to go through various checks, so we need more volunteers in terms of getting it open, where our goal is 7 days a week. We have to give a shout out to Moncton Heathfield. They did one before us, and we learnt they were so generous with their care. But they opened theirs for 365 days a year last year, including Christmas Day, and they weren't going to open it, but they were so like, yes, we want it to be open, they came and did it. It's been a slower start than actually we anticipated. Partly we needed to get the word out. One of the big challenges is getting supplies, so building those relationships with supermarkets especially. It's one of those things where you can't have access to the excess food if you're not open, and then when you're open, then it takes a little while to build those routines. So it's been a really smooth start at the beginning, but we're hoping it ramps up in the next month or two.
Right, good. And so tell the listeners, I guess, where it is and what days it's there to be accessed.
Days off the top of my head. Days, don't do that to me, Lynn. If you go to our website, St. G-Church, you'll see the days on there.
It was Tuesday. Yes, I did look
You've
at it.
You've got it there.
No, I haven't, but I did look at it earlier. And I've forgotten as well. But we can, yes, give the website address out and people can go and check it out. Because obviously, hopefully, with more volunteers, those days will change anyway. So
that's the goal.
Yeah,
that's
the goal. So where can people go to find out more?
Yeah, so with St. George's Church is one of those hidden gems for Taunton. So everybody knows where Vivery Park is. So just behind Vivery Park, you'll see a church building. And then you go past that and then in the sort of near the hall, there is the community fridge along there. If it's open, there's a big green sign on the wall which says open today. So do check it out and come and have a look. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, we're going to play another song. This is Back to Life by Soul to Soul. Kind of a good song for a vicar, I think, maybe. Oh dear. And then we'll talk about your inheritance dishes.
Back to life, back to reality, back to life, back to reality.
Are you a teacher or teaching assistant within Taunton, Somerset, Bristol or Bath area? Somerset Education Alliance needs you. Somerset Education Alliance supply teachers and teaching assistants for day-to-day cover or long-term supply teaching in primary, secondary and special educational needs settings. We deliver a premium personalised service to our teachers and schools as an independent specialist supply agency and also offer a 24-hour service for our schools and teachers for emergency cover. When you're signed up with us, you get a dedicated consultant who gets to know you better, gets to know your likes and dislikes, and can place you into the best working environment. To find out more, call Taunton 746 186 or visit somerset-education-alliance.co.uk.
I'm back here with Nick Griffin in the studio, who's the vicar at St George's Church Wilton here in Taunton. He and his team have set up a community fridge, and he's been telling us how the fridge is actually a way of reducing food waste in the local community and a way of enabling people I suppose, you know, we could say enabling people who are in need to access food, but as you've made very clear, anyone can go and benefit from the food that's donated there, because it's about reducing waste, which is fantastic. Now, we need to give a little shout out, don't we, to the people, we'll say, the groups that have helped to fund the project. So off you go, Nick.
Yeah, thank you so much. Taunton Town Council were absolutely stars with supporting this. That was amazing. And then Hubbub, which is the national charity supporting this. So we really grateful. And then the whole, you know, wider community of volunteers have been fantastic. There's I could try and list them, but I would get it wrong and probably in trouble.
Yeah, so okay, good. So yeah, big round of applause for Taunton Town Council. And is it Hubbub? So
yeah.
A Hubbub, like the kind of you know, do they support community fridge projects across the country?
Yeah,
they're
brilliant.
Okay.
And they you know, other local communities are thinking about starting them. They're really helpful with also giving you the knowledge as well, to how, it's not just the money, to actually go about setting up. It's quite involved, all the, you know, because you have to get food safety stuff done,
of course,
and things like that.
Yeah.
So,
okay, good,
really
good.
Helpful.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, so right, come on, inheritance dishes. You've been a bit nervous about discussing this topic.
Well, I think because it evolves over time. So I'm a kid of the 90s, really. So I kind of grew up through, you know, started with chips and that kind of thing. I remember I said to you earlier, like, Hawaiian pizza, I felt like I was the cutting edge of society. You know, when you're at school and you say, I like pizza, I thought, you know, I'm...
You thought you were posh.
I thought I was posh with Hawaiian pizza. But I think as I got older, you know, things like more Mexican food, so my family mock me now because I basically had like chili to everything, so lots of spicy food, and tortillas and things like that. So
right, okay,
much more where
so,
I am now.
Well, I have to ask you, so how do you feel about Hawaiian pizzas nowadays?
You can't beat Hawaii. See, everybody's down on
they're
them.
They're controversial.
Because, well, you see, the thing with the pineapple is it cuts through the saltiness of the cheese and the ham.
Yeah.
You're not a fan?
No.
Ah! Get out.
I think pineapple, and the other thing, of course, which should never be on a pizza is chicken. I'm sure I've said that before on this show, and I stand by my word.
Why?
It's just not right. Come on.
That's not an argument. It's not right.
It's not an argument. You're right. So, okay, so Hawaiian pizza and chips is sort of what you've inherited, and you still have a love for both of those things.
Not a great deal. But on the other side, I grew up eating a lot of fruit. So my dad would always have like two apples in his pocket, and then he'd eat them and then chuck the core, and you know, you're on a walk and he'd chuck the core, and he'd always have a couple of Cox apples in his pocket. So I probably still eat two apples a day myself.
Oh, that's good.
Fruit everywhere. Maybe this whole project is just a way to get more fruit around.
Yeah.
Nefarious plan.
That's right, to get your hands on other people's raspberries.
There we are.
Yeah.
It's not working so far.
No, that's it.
Keep giving them away.
Well, fruit, you know, we're big fans of fruit on this show, so the more fruit you can eat, the better in my view. So yeah, well, and chips too. I mean, do you make your own chips at home, or are you a chip shop?
Our family doesn't really do that now. So we do eat chips. Everybody eats chips, don't
they? Everybody does.
I remember seeing Jules Oliver saying once, you know, that people would comment on her oven chips in her trolley when she was in Tesco or something like that. Everybody does, but no, not really. And we tend to eat a lot of pasta, that kind of thing at home. So
yeah. So what's your absolute favourite dish, you know, if you could only take one thing with you on the desert island or whatever it is they say on Radio 4, what dish would you want to, you know, have in your cool box?
Some version of like fajitas or something like that. So I like it because it's got the diversity in it. So you've got the different kind of fillings, and you've got the salsas and the chilies and the spices. It's all really good. So and also what I really love is because you have everything in the middle of the table, and then you have everybody filling up their wraps, and it's like a communal bowl. Mm. So it's not just separate. Like everybody's sort of talking, and you're asking to pass the cheese, and you know,
yeah,
moving it around.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lovely way to eat, I think. Yeah,
it's a really
good
experience, and I had a birthday once, and we went. There was like a barbecue in the middle of the, in the middle of this restaurant. Like you cooked your own meat. I don't know how they managed to sell it to us.
Yeah, I know the kind of thing you mean. Yeah.
you go to a restaurant and you cook your food. I don't think we were sold a good one there, but it was the most fun thing. Was you were talking. It gave you a central focus, and I think that's what we're trying to do in the community. But it's also what I really love to do. It's that. It's not just about the food. It's actually about the community and the friends that you're around. Mm, and with.
Yeah. And so, do you get a bit critical about the way different way people roll their wraps? because that's what happens in my family. We look at each other and go, he's doing that wrong. No, she's not doing, that's all going to fall out.
Well, it's when sometimes the kids take a bite of the middle beforehand because they can't resist, and then there's a gaping hole. They're going to kill me for saying that. We don't need to say anything half the time, because if you get it wrong, it's going down you, isn't it? The evidence is clear. There's no verdict required.
Yeah, excellent. No, me and my husband have very different approaches to how we fold a wrap with food in it. Good. Well, brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that. They were excellent choices. So, look, before we finish, just give out the web address again for people who might be interested in finding more about the community fridge, whether they want to go along and see what there is, if they feel that they need some food, or they're nosy, or like me, I'm thinking, I bet there's some chard in there, because that's the kind of thing that gets grown on allotments but not many people like to eat, so I might pop along and see if there's any of that. And also, if individuals or organisations want to donate, so how do they get in touch?
So you can, everybody Googles everything now. If you just Google St George's Wilton, you'll find us. We have a really easy website though, it's stgchurch.co.uk. There's all the details about the fridge there, and how to get in touch if you want to. If you'd like to donate, there's literally a green box inside where you can just pop your donations, and then they'll be sorted out and put on the fridge. But if you'd like to come and see, just be nosy. We'd love to see you there. Come and have a look. It's your community fridge. We want it to be used. We want it to be a blessing to the whole community. And a little bit what I'm hoping is that it will spin off into other things. So we're talking about gathering around food. I'm hoping that gradually people will say, well, could we have this as well? The one in Moncton Heathfield's got school uniform back.
Excellent.
We could do that. You know, my kids are growing like I don't know, topsy to grow, so it grows so fast. These blazers and things cost a bomb, but you know, maybe that will be something. I don't know what it will be, but I'm hoping it's a catalyst for communities coming together and supporting one another. So stgchurch.co.uk.
Okay, and presumably if someone is interested in volunteering to support the project, they can get in touch through there as well.
Absolutely. It's a dedicated email address, which is fridge@stgchurch.co.uk, but nobody's going to remember all that, so just Google us, you'll find it.
Perfect. Great. Lovely to meet you and to talk about this really interesting project, and I'm sure it will grow into something bigger and bigger. And, maybe other groups in the Taunton area will do the same in different parts of the town, which would be perfect.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
Okay, cheers.
Did you know about 50% of people won't wait longer than 3 seconds for a website to load? Having a great-looking, well-built website can go a long way to keeping your customers happy. Somerset Web Services build reliable and fast websites for all sorts of businesses, charities and clubs. Their websites are eye-catching, fast and mobile-friendly. If you need e-commerce, they can do that too. And their websites come with full after-sales support and service at the end of a phone. SomersetWebServices.co.uk.
Enjoy delicious contemporary Indian cuisine at Somerset Masala. Try our speciality clay oven dishes, or enjoy a treat from our signature collection. And party in style, we love a celebration. Book your special occasion with us for up to 150 people, plus parking with 35 spaces. Book or order online at SomersetMasala.com, or phone your order in for a 10% discount. Call 01823 35000. Somerset Masala, 16 Herongate, Taunton.
Are you job hunting, thinking about a change of career, or want to see if you can have a better work-life balance? If so, then come along to the Taunton Jobs Fair on Wednesday, September the 27th, and find your future at the Somerset County Cricket Club. Doors open 10:30 till 3:30.
For more information, visit somersetjobs.co.uk. The Community Notice Board, in association with Hestercombe Gardens.
Hi, it's Patch here. Let's take a quick look at what's going on in and around the county town. We're going to start on Wednesday, the 27th of September, as Somerset Jobs take their job fair to the Somerset County Cricket Club. It's going to be open from 10:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. and it's a great opportunity to head along and find out what jobs and careers are currently available in and around the county. Well worth a visit, totally free. So that's taking place on Wednesday, 27th of September. Then on Friday, 29th of September, it's time to head over to the Prizewood Community Centre as they hold their Autumn Bazaar. You can find a bookstall, cake stall, bric-a-brac refreshments and a world-famous raffle. It's not one to miss. It's all happening from 10am to 4pm in the community centre in Prizewood, so please don't miss it. And then finally, on the 30th of September, world-famous pianist Patrick Hemmerle will be heading to Queen's College to perform a full recital. For more information about that, just head over to the Queen's College website. That's about it from me, but if you've got an event that you'd like listed on the community notice board, then why not drop us the details? It's noticeboard@tonefm.co.uk. That's noticeboard@tonefm.co.uk.
This year, join us at Hestercombe Gardens for an unforgettable experience. Illuminate 2023. Witness our breathtaking new dynamic water fountains, choreographed to enchanting music for the very first time. Running from November 23rd to December 30th, prepare to be transported on a magical journey of colour, light and sound as the garden comes alive at night with illuminated trees, sparkling paths and a grand finale in front of Hestercombe House. Don't miss the festive wonder. Illuminate at Hestercombe Gardens.
Well, that was a pleasure to speak to Nick. What a brilliant project that is that he's started down there in Wilton, next to the church. Right, I'm running out of time again. Oh, my goodness. Just about got time to play the Foodie Triple Play and to say thank you to Blue Sand for letting me know that she is having meat pie, broccoli and gravy for tea. Well done, Blue Sand. The Triple Play is coming up now. It's on the theme of healthy drinks after playing the Water Boys at the top of the show. So I've got orange juice, Kid Creole and the coconuts for coconut milk or coconut water, whatever you prefer, and Walking on the Milky Way by OMD.
Standing sultry in the rain. If I could have held you, I dog who did the forgery and the babe in charge of larceny. So the FBI, they rewarded him because they like a guy who will stab a friend.
So that was tonight's triple play. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for listening to the show, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's lovely guest, Nick Griffin. I'm back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. with the usual Tuesday night stuff, the blender, the triple play, and food for thought. Have a lovely weekend, and I will see you next week.
Stop making the eyes of eyes at you. What it is that surprises me is that I don't really want you to. When your shoulders are frozen, over you're an explosion. Your name isn't real, but I don't care for sand and light.
Listen when you want, how you want. This was a Tone FM Listen Again.
All rights reserved, 2023.